Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of love. Sing it again.
Kayla, sing it down low for him.
This is Minister LaDawn. I was on mute, so you guys will have to excuse me, but good evening, and thank you guys for joining us here on Woman to Woman. And we have our special guest host who's been joining us all month long. Why don't you give us a shout out to our listening audience and introduce yourself for those who are new and for those who are who've been joining us all month. It'll just be reintroducing yourself. Randall, are you there?
I am here. Thank you guys for having me once again. I've really been enjoying the last two shows that I've been a part of. And for those of you guys that who have never heard me or who aren't familiar with me, again, my name is Randall Kelly. I am a law enforcement professional, loving husband, father, and I'm truly dedicated to the mission. So I'm really happy and excited about being able to talk about some of the issues that we have. And I'm hoping that someone will be helped, you know, throughout this month-long process.
Awesome. You know, Coach D, I will share with our audience, Coach D is not feeling very well this evening, so you'll be hearing a lot more from myself and, of course, Randall. And Coach D will jump in from time to time. But I just have to make this quick comment because usually we will play our theme song at least twice because most people are logging in and we don't want them to miss the show. But because Randall's friends, and I'm going to say hello to Randall's friends. Hi, Randall's friends. Because they've been listening. They started singing the theme song to them. So Coach D said she would only play it once this time. And so, in fact, she remembered it. She did. So thank you for that, Coach D. Well, we will, of course, jump right into the show. And for our listening audience, when you hear something that you want to comment on or if you have a question, please remember to dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll take you into the queue, and our team will know that you have a question, and they'll bring you in so that you can join the conversation. And we hope that you've had an opportunity to listen to the past two shows, like Randall was saying, because these shows have been really interesting and engaging conversation about parenting, fatherhood in specific. But it has really been awesome to be a part of what's been going on here, and especially to have Randall joining us and giving us his perspective as a father and also as just someone who many friends who are in the same situation and have shared their experiences with him as well. So, again, if you have a comment or you have a question, please remember to dial 1 on your dial pad and you will be able to join the conversation. But, Randall, we're going to get right on in, and I know that last week Coach D ended the show by asking you, was there an experience that has stayed with you and practically pretty much changed your life or shaped you or formed who you are today? If you can remember an experience that happened to you between the ages of 0 to 7, between the ages of 0 to 7, and if I kind of slept on that, Coach D, please, you know, if you need to give it further detail, please do so, so that we can get to the essence of where we're going with that particular question.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I have to cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm gonna step out. I just, Mr. LaDon, if you could just kind of pick up from there, but basically we shared last week that between the ages of 0 and 7, the question came about is, what were the things that were happening in your life from 0 to 7? It could have been great things. You could have had some great experiences, and that's perfect. But what were some of those maybe traumatic experiences from 0 to 7 that you may have blocked out, may have forgot about, and now thinking back, you think about those experiences and you see how they have affected where you are in life today. And that's what we were talking about last week. So I don't know if we want to continue on with that or say that for another time, because we also want to talk about the bitter ex syndrome that affects a man's relationship with his child, not with the ex, but with his child, because if the ex is bitter, it has a tendency to keep the man away. And I'm saying man, but it could be a woman. But it has a tendency to keep the non-custodial parent at a bay, and it's affecting their relationship with their children. So that's another subject matter that we've had a lot of people comment on. Amen?
I know for amen. Just thinking out loud, until you have any traumatic experiences during that age period. But what I can say is one of the things that I always kind of carried with me was the love and respect and admiration that my grandfather had, and he was the pillar of my family. He was the pillar of our family, and the way he carried himself was, I mean, it was impeccable. I mean, he died when I was about 8 years old. But I always remembered those things, and even as a young age, and it kind of goes to some of the things you remember when you're a young man. That's why I said kids never really forget things. And so even as a young man, the way he carried himself, him being the pillar of the family, the pillar of the household, he was pretty much everyone's rock. So everyone looked to him for that love and admiration. And when it comes to the man in my life that I've always respected the most, no one has ever came close to that. And so I always hold my grandfather to a high regard, even in the presence of my father, who's now deceased, but he was not always there as much as I liked him to be. But even in that, I grew to appreciate him more. Some of the things I learned from him after he unfortunately had passed away. So some of the things, like I said, you try to think about things that were beneficial for you. You think about things that really influenced your life. And a lot of times folks will think of so many negative things, and you use that to kind of push you and kind of serve as a catalyst for you to do great things later on in life. For me, it was my grandfather, the way he carried himself, the way he pushed the family, and just him being the patriarch of the household, everyone looked up to him. And that was one of the things that I knew I always wanted to do in my adult life. And when I began to have children and start raising my kids, my family, that's the way that myself, I know that that's the way I strive to be. And also, I believe that every man should also strive to do the same thing, especially when it comes to their families and their kids.
Awesome. You know, I heard you mention patriarch or patron of the household, and it seems that we don't even have that that figure in our families in these days. What is your view? Do you, from the people that you know and that you've experienced as far as friends, not necessarily family, do you see that they have that patriarchal person that's leading the family?
A lot of, I honestly can't say that a lot of men necessarily have. There are a few, but a lot of folks have that example to go by, and that's pretty much the reason why we're having so many issues with when it comes to the black male and the black man and raising their families and being a part of the kids' life. We don't necessarily have that example to go by. So a lot of times we're going off of what we think we should be doing, or an example of what our friends or what we're seeing on TV or social media, and we don't have that raw example, you know, and that's because there are so many absentee fathers here, and that's the reason why we're having so many issues now.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. You know, especially when you start talking about social media, and we're going to get into, after our statement, we're going to get into a whole different area, because we've talked about all these issues, we've talked about all of these challenges, and I want to pick your brain about what solutions that we can put into place. But before I do that, I'm going to take us back to your comment in regards to social media, because as a mom, and I was born in 1974, and here it is 2017, and there has been a big change in our culture, especially for our women, and again, our men and our fathers. But when you look at social media, it plays such a huge role in indicating or telling our young ladies and our young men who they should be, how they should act, what they should have and what they shouldn't have. It seems like to me that it's taken on the role of almost like the parent was the one who used to indicate to the child, okay, you should be this way or you should act this way. But now social media seems to have really taken on that role, and taken it away from parents, even taken it away from, I would say, television. Because most people spend most of their time these days on social media. But what do you think about, you know, the role that social media has and how it plays into indicating or how it plays basically into telling our people how they should act?
I most definitely think social media plays a huge role in how we are and how we act and how we govern ourselves. And a lot of times, you know, we look at memes or we follow certain people on social media, and a lot of times they don't necessarily have families of their own. And like I said, just going back to that example, you know, a lot of times we don't see motherhood and fatherhood the way it used to be. You know, when I was growing up, we had mothers and fathers that definitely stuck together. But now people don't view marriage and relationships the same. A lot of times it's so easy to walk away rather than stay in the fight. And like I said, I think social media definitely plays a huge role in that, because we don't have a lot of shows on TV. There's so much now reality TV, and so much that tears down the black family, and we just don't have enough. We don't have enough shows, and we don't have enough examples to go by. And a lot of times we just have to rely on what we think is the right thing to do. And a lot of times, without having people in your corner that are supportive or and who look up to you and want to push you in that right direction, we always falter. And that's a huge problem that we have now.
I loved your answer. And before I take we go away from there, one of the things that I want to ask you, especially since we're talking about fathering, in your household, I know you have, I think you said your daughter was 9, and then you have the sons, of course.
Yeah. So I have my son, my oldest son, my daughter is 6, and I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Okay. Yeah. And so how do you handle the guiding the social media that goes on in your household? I mean, I know for the most part the kids are pretty young, but
yeah.
Kids are getting on to social media very early these days. Even parents are taking videos and pictures and plastering them all over social media, and the children love it. I have an adopted grandson, and he loves picking up the camera and videotaping himself. He loves doing the Skype and FaceTime, and so this is his era, and this is what they're used to. But how do you determine the how big or how small of a role that social media plays in your household?
Well, I know as far as in my household, none of my kids have social media accounts. I do know I have friends that have that their kids actually have social media accounts, and they allow them to have these accounts and they play on social media. I don't allow my son to. He doesn't have any access to social media. Doesn't have any social media accounts. However, they do have iPads. Most kids do, and I do allow him to use his iPad. But we do monitor it. I mean, at any given moment, walk up and I can pull an iPad and I can see the history and look and see exactly what he's looking at. Myself and my wife, we both do that. So that's one thing that we definitely do, and we try to give him a level of trust so that try to get him to build that relationship, give him a little bit here, a little bit there, but. I mean, as far as social media itself, that's not something that we allow our children to do. And I don't knock anyone that does it, but that's just not something that we allow ourselves to do. Now, there are things that I allow him to watch, and everything that we allow him to watch, he knows there will be questions asked after that. So if he wants to watch something, if there's something that he really likes to watch, we're going to have certain questions that we want to know the who, what, when, and where, and why. Why do you like watching this? And what are you getting from it? And as long as you realize, and you can just differentiate between what's TV and what's reality, then that's fine. That's fine. And I personally have no problems with that.
My daughter, especially my youngest one, knows way more about social media and accounts and different things like that than I do. And so as you were saying that, I was just thinking about the young kids or the young people who know how to erase where they've been and, different things like that. And so what comes to mind, because even as my daughters got older, I would still go in sometimes and check their pages. For a moment, I felt like it wasn't necessary and they were older and, I've taught them this and I've taught them that. And so I could trust where they were going. But what I learned is that, first of all, it's not always that you're having to trust or distrust your child, but there's different predators out there. There's different material out there that kind of draws and sucks the children in or sucks the young people in. And then I've also learned that no matter how old you get and how much trust you have, there's still a certain type of accountability, and I think you can, for me, monitoring was that accountability, meaning I'm going to monitor you. So because you know that I'm going to come behind you, you are now having to be more accountable. Either you're going where you're supposed to go or you're deleting so that I don't know that you're going where, not going where you're supposed to go. But what age do you think, especially for a father, and especially it's so easy to access things such as porn, the violence the fights and stuff like that that goes all over social media, and just the way that they portray so many different aspects of who we are as a people and our culture and our women and our men. As a father, bring up young women and young men. At what age do you think that monitoring should not exist, if there is an age? And how do you feel like you will approach that? And I'm asking that because I'm thinking that there's people out there who are listening, and maybe their children's use of social media has gotten out of hand, and they don't know what to do at this point. And the reason why I'm specifically asking you, although your children are not there yet, you have to deal with other people and the role that you play professionally. You have to deal with a lot of different challenges, and so I think, you know, your response will be an effective response.
Correct. I think monitoring should always exist, and I think that it definitely depends on the maturity of your child.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with social media, bullying is so big nowadays. And so one of the things a lot of times we'll do with our son is we'll have him sit in between us or sit in front of us, so that way we know exactly what's going on. But like I said, going back, I don't think there's necessarily I think there should always be 100% accountability. And I mean, as long as you're in under our roof, there's always going to be accountability. I mean, there's always going to be there's something we're always going to know what's going on. Now, of course, there's certain levels of privacy that we'll grant depending on your maturity level. But until we see that, that's something that we'll always continue to monitor.
And I love that you said that. And the reason why I was so heavy on social media, because, again, it seems like social media has become the teacher to our young people today. And so how do we take role, or at least determine how much of a teacher we allow it to be? Again, you know, as I watch the young people in today's age, I know older people used to tell us, you guys don't act like we used to act. We have to do this, we have to do that. And now I totally understand what they were saying before, because as I watch them, I'm like, I listen to the music, and, you know, you watch the dances, you watch how they interact with each other, and you just kind of feel like, wow, where are we going? Where is this culture going? And so, you know, you, of course, in your mind, don't want it to get worse, but is it getting worse? Is it getting worse? Are we, as a people, and as a generation, are we allowing too much freeness, too much freedom for our children? And is there even, when you think about too much freedom, is that really something that we should be taking from them, or is that something that we should be allowing them to have? Like, how do you find that balance for them to be able to grow into the people that they're supposed to be and manage how they're growing into it? But still guide them and instruct them. How do you find that balance without overstepping or understepping that balance?
I think when it comes to that, one thing I can always remember the way my mother was growing up. I mean, she was always stern but fair, and a lot of times when I would think about those circumstances, I always told myself, I was like, I'll never be like that with my kids. I'll never do this, this, and this. And then I think about it now, and not long ago, my son was telling me the same thing. He says, you know, Dad, you're stern but fair. And so that's one thing that I took that with a sense of pride, because, as like I said, as long as you're under our roof, I believe that there should be 100% accountability, and you should always kind of know what's going on. I mean, you're only going to have X amount of privacy anyways, especially when you're living under your parents' household. Now, when you get up, when you become an adult and you become self-sufficient, carry you on insurance anymore, and we don't have to pay your bills and do this, this, and that, then by all means, you have all the privacy you need at that point. But as long as there's still an attachment and I'm doing things for you, if I still have that type of liability, I mean, because you're going out there with my name, that's the way I look at it. And I believe in the old school way that, you know, you train your child in the way that you want them to go. And so if you're sitting there allowing them to have so much freedom, sometimes you have to tighten up that rope. And I think nowadays it is getting to that point where with social media and phones, and they have so much access to technology, I think that a lot of times it cripples the child, and it really puts them at a disadvantage.
Yeah, because I think with all of the access they have, it's a greater access to things that maybe they should not be having to deal with as of yet. I always, you know, thought of raising children in a sense of, and even for myself, not everything, just because I'm able to see doesn't mean that I should see everything. Just because I'm able to hear doesn't mean that I should hear everything. And I have to learn and teach my children, of course, what things, how to determine what things you should hear and what things you shouldn't be hearing, and how to make good decisions. But, you know, even with that, for those people who feel like maybe they're gotten out of control, and how do I start getting control again? Is there a time where is it ever too late to start disciplining or trying to redirect or guide our young people, especially as we're talking about fathering and we talked about fathers not being in the home, but now you see your young person and they're headed towards a road that you know is not going to end up good for them. Is it ever too late to step in and start being the disciplinarian or start being the guide?
I don't think that it's never too late to step in. I mean, especially when we're talking about your children. So I don't think there's ever a time when there's too late, or they're considered a lost cause. I think my mom, even at our ages, my mom is still heavily involved in a lot of the things that we do. I mean, she's always there, and she's always one call away. And I think that when you talk about building those relationships with your kids, I don't want to be so hard on my kids that they don't want to. They never want to come and or bring certain things to me, because you want to have that level of trust. And like I said, I guess being stern but fair is a good way to put it, because you always want to have that type of relationship where they can. You want them to discuss certain things with you. You want them to discuss things. You want them to be able to talk about things, talk about everything when it comes to you. But at the same time, you still want to have that level of respect. I mean, I'm your friend, but I'm not your friend. I guess if I make it sense. So it's never too late to establish that relationship, but you definitely want to have that relationship. If you've been an absentee all these years, and then all of a sudden you want to come to start being a disciplinarian, I mean, you know, it may be falling on deaf ears. There's so many different methods, but when it comes to discipline, you don't necessarily have to always, using a belt is not always, you know, it may not be the best way to reach your child. A lot of times, is talking to them or, you know, taking things away from them. And I'm talking about little kids. Now, as far as we're talking about adults, that's a whole different story. Sometimes you just have to give them their space, because you can't, now, as an adult, you can't make them do things. But when it comes to kids and teenagers, you know, you definitely still want to be hands-on. But at the same time, you don't want to be so hard on your kids that they don't even want to deal with you, or that they want to just keep things away from you, because that's where you get to that point where you may feel like you're losing them a little bit. Because you don't know how to reach them.
Yeah, yeah. And so to that father who has been absent most of the years of their children's life, and they're stepping back in, and maybe the child is 13, 14, or 15, and, you know, Coach D had ask that question, you're formed in the ages, you're really who you are between the ages of 0 to 7. How do you now step back in and say, first of all, you're trying to be a part of your child's life, and then second of all, you are trying to make sure that you're guiding the child or instilling certain values in the child. Maybe you didn't know these values before, and maybe that's why you've been absent. Who knows the reason why they weren't there before, but then they're there now. How, what do you say to them as far as gaining that relationship and not being afraid to be the guide, not being afraid to take their role as the father and help form that young person, and also not being too pushy because they have not been there. And sometimes they step in and they're like, I'm daddy, and I you better respect me. And the child is like, respect you? What do you mean respect you? You don't even respect me.
And that's a really good question. And one of the things I think about is when me and my wife first got together, like I said, we both came to the relationship with a child from previous marriages. And then together we had our two beautiful daughters. So my son was, he was about five or six years old when I came into the picture. So the main thing that I had to realize up front was that, okay, I have to find out where he is. And I had to learn how to be my son's father. With me being a step, I never use the word step when it comes to my kids. I consider him as my son. I never use that word step. But I had to learn where he was. So I couldn't come in saying this is the way it's going to be, this, and this. I had to learn the type of young man Israel was. So I couldn't, until I did that, that's when I started to see progress. Now, of course, we bump heads a little bit initially, because I'm coming from a completely different method of raising my child, and he's used to a certain way of being raised by his mother. So when we come together, I had to learn a completely different step. Now I'm dealing with a son that I didn't that's biologically not mine, but now we've blossomed into that beautiful relationship that we have now, to where he knows what to do. And like I said, now I think we've established that relationship, to where he comes to me if he needs something, he comes to me if he wants to talk about things. But it didn't always start off like that. I had to build that relationship. So that's one thing that you have to be able to do when it comes to, if you've been an absentee father and you haven't been around, you have to build that relationship. It's almost like you have to learn your child all over again. And you have to see what's their likes and dislikes. They have to be willing to accept you. And if you go in with the wrong mentality that I'm daddy, I'm this, and this, you may not be able to, like I said, it's falling on deaf ears, because you're missing out on that relationship you could build, because you're trying so hard to insert yourself. Whereas sometimes just let it be organic and genuine, and you try to build that relationship off of what it is. So I would strongly suggest just building that relationship and building that trust. And once you establish that trust, that's when you're able to insert yourself. And I'm not saying insert yourself, go in at 100 miles an hour, but just ease up a little bit. You have to work your way in there. So that's the main thing. And I say dealing with blended families, that's one of the most unique aspects of blended families, because you're coming into the relationship with a completely different mindset. And so you're having to slow down your pace and meet each other where you are and then kind of build off of that. So it takes a lot of maturity in that, too.
Yeah. But, even when you say that, what pops in my mind is what about those fathers who are stepping in and they're trying to build those relationships, but the children are really pushing them to the edge? And it could be their own biological children. They haven't been in their life. And do they say, okay, this child does not want me in their life? They're giving me a hard time. The child may even cuss them out, argue with them all the time. Is there ever any point in time where it's okay for that father to be like, you know what, I'm just going to back up And if they get to a point in age where they want to talk to me, they can come talk to me. But right now, before I kill them, I'm going to step back.
Yeah, you know, I think when you put it that way, you definitely want to have you want to use some wisdom. So, you know, if you're dealing with a situation like that, your child absolutely positively wants nothing to do with you. I wouldn't say completely back off, but I would, and I know some situations in which it has been that way, and I do know a lot of men who will just back off because it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts to see your son or your daughter mistreat you or talk to you that way. But at the same time, you got to kind of look at yourself. Why are they being that way? You know, sometimes is it your fault or is it what they've been told by the other parent? So the main thing is trying to find that out. Listen to them, hear them out. And when they're ready to talk to you, especially if they're adults or they're a lot older, when they're ready to talk to you, to genuinely place yourself in that situation to where, hey, son or daughter, if you need me, I'll be available. Here's my number. Here's the way to contact me. And just like I said, you got to kind of ease up in it. You got to kind of use that wisdom and find a way to insert yourself. I mean, we do
okay,
that
but,
any other time.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But what if they're only calling them for, you know, well, I need some money or I need help out of this situation or I need help out of that situation. Do you consistently extend yourself to be able to help them out of a situation and then, you know, they go back to not calling you until the next situation comes up? Like, how should the fathers respond in at that point?
I mean, you know, at some point you want to put your foot down because you don't want to consistently be misused, you don't want consistently be taken advantage of. So, I mean, in situations like that, if they're only contacting you, but not if you are, they're only contacting you in a sense when it's time for them, when they want somebody, want finances, or they want you to co-sign for a car or pay a phone bill or this, and that. I mean, you really have to do some deep soul searching because as a man, you don't want to be taken advantage of. But at the same time, you're looking at your kid, but sometimes you do have to take a step back and really consider, hey, you know, I love you. You're my child. But at the same time, there has to be some lines here. You can't call me or contact me only when you need something. And so I think in circumstances like that, I think it's perfectly okay in certain circumstances where you can place yourself and put your foot down and say, hey, you know, you're not going to continue to use me that way. Because at the same time, I mean, you have to, but at the same time, you still want to try to establish that relationship. You want to build that relationship to where it doesn't get like that. But sometimes because you've been absent for so many years, sometimes it's kind of hard to do that. It's kind of hard to be in those situations to where you're constantly being used. Every time they call, they want something. And so you have to put yourself in those. You got to think about that. Those are things you have to think about. And when those times arise, you have to tell yourself, hey, I'm not going to allow this to happen. But just because I say no, that doesn't mean, it doesn't diminish my role as that child's father. But at the same time, still, I'm not going to allow you to take advantage of me.
We have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, area code 562, last four, 2349. You're alive. Woman
to woman. Caller, you had a question? Hello, this is Vincent Talbert. You hear me?
Hi.
Yes,
yes.
You hear
hi,
me?
How are you?
Hi, how great. This is Vincent Talbert. I'm sitting here listening to the different comments made, and I was looking at here. Let me turn down this because this doubles echoing. Now we're talking about kids. Is it too late to teach them? And I say, I'm a part of this. I say no. It's never too late, and it's never. No matter how old they get, you can still be there for them and stay on them. Now, when I first came to California to live with my dad, I was 12 years old. I haven't been around my dad since I was like 5 years old. Then it was rough for me, but even though I did wrong and did this, he stayed on my butt. And then everything that he had said or told me, it stuck in my head later on, and it made sense. And it's the same thing with my kids. They do the same thing. I know my girls, they were something else. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And then later on, Daddy, yeah, you were right. And I said, I told you, I just wanted you to know. That's why I stay on your butt. And here it is. My kids are from the age of 17 to 40, and I still stay on their butt. I'm not with the mother. I'm there. They will always call me. I talk to my kids every, at least one of them a day. It's one of the five I talk to. But I talk to my kids all the time. It's very important to stay on your kids. I don't care if they're away out of state and away and out of your home or whatever. You guys are so far from each other, because I see too many kids out there that don't have any upbringing, nothing. They just roam. They just do what they want to do. Disrespectful to elders. Disrespectful to themselves. It's not right.
Wow, I love the example that you gave. Thank you very much. I really love the example that you gave. One of the reasons why I was asking all of those questions, especially as we started this first two shows, many people may have thought that we were just bashing fathers and, you know, saying that if they're not there, how can they really parent? But there are those fathers who want to come in and step in and get back to guiding their children and just being there for their children. So I'm really thankful that you gave that question. And Randall, I'm thankful that example. And Randall, I'm thankful that you gave your example as well.
Sounds like we're getting some feedback there.
There's some kind of echo. I keep hearing, every time I speak, I keep hearing myself talk. I don't.
No, you're okay. You're okay. It's the gentleman that was speaking. I think that was coming from his phone, so I do have him back on mute, so you could continue.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. But thank you, caller. We appreciate your comment. But, yeah, one of the things that I did want to point out or bring out is that as these fathers do try to come back into their lives, the lives of the children, sometimes you do feel like giving up. I know a couple of men that are in that situation, and as the mom who is the single mom or parent, in our brain, we feel like they should never give up. Like, how dare you give up, and how dare you give up again and again and again? But these are sometimes the situations that they're facing. They sometimes are facing situations where the children are angry and they're mad, and you step in and you feel like the men sometimes feel like, how do I continue to build a relationship when I feel like every day I'm starting all over again, or every day I'm trying to make up for what I didn't do instead of building a path of what I'm doing now. And that's a hard place to be, and I understand that that's a hard place to be, but as the woman on the other side, you know, we sometimes feel like that's the choice that you made, and you need to be there. You need to man up or face up and be there. But
yeah.
I don't know if I would ever, you know, want to be in that situation myself.
No, you know, and a lot of times you kind of you think about that. You think about, okay, you know, what would I do if I was placed in that situation? And a lot of times you don't know what you would do until you're in that situation. Do I condone men deciding that, hey, absolutely not, I don't want to be a part of my child's life because I can't deal with the child's mother? No, I don't. I mean, I honestly think that sometimes in doing that, you do give them that power, you give them that satisfaction to continue to bash and talk about you to their friends or post about you on social media or humiliate you. I think when you hang in there and you stay in the fight and you decide that, hey, regardless of whatever she's doing, and sometimes even the man, and vice versa, regardless of what that other person is doing, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to fight for my child because I know that I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be labeled as an absentee father. And so sometimes I think if we can just look at that situation and just look at that and just kind of tell ourselves and kind of empower ourselves that, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is the type of man I'm going to be. Then I think that would definitely give us that boost of enthusiasm that sometimes a lot of men don't have.
I love that you said that. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking when you said some men may choose not to be in the father's life because of their relationship with the mother, and another part of that is, you know, maybe they felt like they weren't ready to be a father yet. And are they, and then later on down the line when they feel like they've matured or they've learned something and now they're ready to be a father, are they actually entitled as a human being, as an individual, as living a life and having their own life experience that is totally about self, are they entitled to be able to make those types of decisions, or are they, I don't want to say obligated, but should they make it a demand on self to say that no matter what, I need to be in that child's life, you know? And I'm just asking this because, again, we're bringing this whole show out or talking about the topics that we've discussed because we were saying that men need to step up, they need to go back into their roles or retake their roles as being leaders of the household and mentoring their sons and daughters and teaching them how to navigate through this life. But we are individuals who have our own life experience. And are we entitled to have our own life experience, or do we have to always consider the next person?
Gotcha. I think when you think about, just going back to what you said as far as, you know, men sometimes saying that, hey, I wasn't ready to be a father. This, you know, I think that's the type of conversation you need to have with someone before you decide to form a relationship and then have a sexual relationship with them. I mean, you roll that dice, and I've said that before in the previous interview. Every time you have that type of a sexual relationship with someone, you have that risk, and this is even if you use an condom, if they say they're on birth control, you run that risk of possibly having a child with that person. So that's something that you have to ask yourself. I mean, men saying they're not ready to have kids, I mean, that's, you know, it's said all the time, but at the same time, that's something that you need to ask yourself when you decide to become intimate with that person. If I have a child with this person, can I see myself dealing with them for the rest of our lives? Because you're always going to be connected with that child. So sometimes, honestly, that's a cop-out. When you think about me and saying, hey, you knew I wasn't ready to have a child, this, this, and that. Okay, well, did you think about that before you became intimate with her? That's the main question. But yes, you still have an obligation, but you shouldn't let that be the reason why, oh, okay, well, I'm deciding I'm going to back out because I'm upset with you. I'm not going to be a part of this child's life because you knew that this was not what I want. And that's just the wrong mentality to have. And it just perpetuates the cycle. It just continues that cycle when you're dealing with someone, and because they don't want to be a part of that child's life because they're mad at you, that bitterness we talked about previously, it just forms that wedge. And then you can't form a relationship with your child because you're so bitter towards that person for having the child, to the woman for having that child, when that was something you should have thought about way before.
Got it. And what about for the women who know that the man said, no, I don't want a child, and they were using protection, and the protection was working, but the woman said, hey, I want a baby. And so she, you know, maybe stopped using a pill, and now she's pregnant.
Does the man have the right to say he does not want to be in the child's life?
I mean, that's when we talk about the civil process, and in no way I'm not an attorney, but you run that risk of folks saying, hey, well, I'm going to sign over my rights. I'm not going to. I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, because when you think about a man telling a man knowing that he has a child with this woman, and because you're absolutely not ready, you're telling yourself, I'm going to sign over my rights because I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be in this relationship, and I told you I wasn't ready to have kids. And that's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, how can you know? There's men that do it, but how can you live with yourself knowing that you have a child out here that you're not taking care of, and that you're not being a part of their life? I mean, shame on you, you know, to have that type of mindset that you knew what you were doing. You decided to have sex with someone, and they became pregnant, but you're saying I'm going to sign over my rights. But and that goes. It's just being spiteful. And like I said, I mean, God's going to deal with you some kind of way, you know. And a lot of times, you think about things not happening in our lives or things not working out the way that we want them to. A lot of times, it's because of the way we treat people or the way we do things or the way we operate or conduct ourselves. And so, that's like I said, going back, that's a hard pill to swallow. And I know for me, I can't live myself knowing that I have a child with someone, and I absolutely have withdrawn myself from them. That's really bad. I mean, you want to think about that when you decide that to have kids with someone or to become intimate with someone. Like I said, you roll the dice.
Yeah, and you know, the essence of that question was to take us back to the very beginning of where we started from with this show, meaning if we are able to question ourselves or negotiate with ourselves on whether we should be parenting or not parenting, it tells us, it indicates how we got into our situations or our circumstances of where we are today when as it pertains to our households and our children and our families. You know, there was a time where that was never a question. If you had a child, you took care of a child. But we have so much of our of society that has taught us to start thinking about self.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's not okay to think about yourself, because in the end, at the beginning and at the end, there is you and God and nobody else, you know. But But even the way that God created us was to be interacting with other people. It was never about one person and just dealing internally. We're designed to deal externally. We're designed in such a way that we don't have all of what we need contained within ourselves, and so we have to go out and into this world and interact with other people in order to obtain parts of what we need, even parts of what we need to become the fullness of who we are. And I'm saying all of that to, again, take us back to, we have to start looking at where we are and how do we get away from here. We have to start looking at the fact that there's so many households in our culture that are single-parented households. There's so many households that don't know what the experience is to have a father at all, let alone a father in the home. And then when these young people grow up and they have to now get married or, you know, deal with having a father in the home because of whatever, they don't even know how to manage experience.
Exactly. Never had a sample to go by.
And so now we have all of these broken people creating more broken people. And how do we start mending this brokenness? How do we start making sure, like, what's the first step? What's the first step when it comes to
teaching our men that they're needed at home and teaching them how to be a mentor or how to be an example for the young men who are watching them and the young women who are watching them.
Question, and it goes a lot deeper. You know, men, we have to know, we have to realize that, hey, we aren't perfect, but at the same time, we have a responsibility. So we have a lot, we have soul searching to do. And a lot of times men have a habit of holding things in. And when you hold those things in, it puts you in a mode where you have a hard time expressing yourself. And when you have a hard time expressing yourself, you tend to lash out, especially in relationships. And you're pretty much setting yourself up for failure if you can never trust your spouse or your partner enough to where you can't open up. You can't open up about things that you've dealt with personally. You can't open up about things that you've dealt with at work or whatever that situation is. You want to make sure that you're placing yourself in situations to where you're always learning and you're always taking control of your life. So as men, we have to dig deep in ourselves because we know we have a responsibility not only to ourselves but to our families and to our kids. We are needed at home, but at the same time, we've been so absent in our child's and women's life that they've learned how to make do without us. And I think we need to get back to that. We need to get back to being a part of our children's lives and being a part of our partners or our spouses' lives and working on ourselves enough that when we're all ready to receive a woman, we're able to carry that household and be the type of man that they need us to be in the household and for our family and for our kids.
Mm. Wow. Well, I love that answer. I absolutely love that answer. You know, again, I've raised four girls, and some things I did really excellent and some things I just kind of blew. You know, but one of the things is I did have, you know, strong men in their life, or what I thought was strong men that were in their life that were able to be examples to them and for them in certain areas. As I watch the young ladies, especially, and I have such a heart towards the young ladies because we're getting pregnant younger and younger these days, and as we're pregnant younger and younger, a lot of times we're stepping out at 15, 14, 16 years old, getting on county, getting our own apartment and trying to be a parent, and yet we're still children, but we think we're grown and swearing up and down we're grown and dealing with all of these different things emotionally, mentally, and physically that our young minds are not even ready to experience yet. We haven't even formed a certain maturity to be able to understand what we are experiencing. And with that, they're dealing with a lot of men who are taking advantage of those young women. You know, what do we say to the women? Because are they responsible for where they are and how they ended up? Or do we lay all of the responsibility at the men's feet? Like, Who is accountable for what? Who is responsible for what? Is it the men's fault that they're not there? When you think about so many laws being put into place that were designed to take our men away, so many hardships that were designed to cause the male not to be in the home, is it that they should just be fighting harder? Like, you have to fight harder. You should be fighting harder. Or is it okay that they just lay down and kind of go away? Because I feel like, for me, I kind of feel like, although I understand that it's hard, that they've kind of laid down at some instances. And the men may feel like, you really don't understand how it is for me out here. So, again, who has, you know, what responsibility lies with who, you know? And
I think we have to definitely have to take it take into consideration that no, it's not a 100% on man or
yeah.
placed on a woman, but we all, everyone has a piece of it, you know, and everyone is built different. No one is built the same. So you think about situations where, as a woman growing up, and her father wasn't around, and it in return it made her really bad at relationships, and they have put a lot of trust in men who were nothing but harmful for her. Whereas that same situation to another woman, it may push them to be an even better person, and just based on the circumstances. So a lot of times you think about, it's not placed on one person, but it's really just up to the individual. But that's why you have to have people in your life. If the man is not a part of life, as the a single mom, if she has a son where the father's not a part of life, whether it's a teacher, coach, pastor, deacon, uncle, whatever male figure, that person should then step up. I wouldn't say should, but that person, it would definitely encourage that person steps up. Because you think about those
mm-hmm.
situations, those are the things that kind of mold men to be better. And growing up, I didn't necessarily have a lot of the best male figures to look up to, but I went on the remembrance of how my grandfather was. And I went on the remembrance of how certain teachers and coaches were in my life, and who laid that foundation and placed that influence. Even when my father was absent, I took those circumstances and I let those kind of mold me into the man I am today. And based off of trial and error, of course, and applies to everything, but trial and error was the thing that placed me in a situation to where now, when I see certain things, okay, I'm able to think mentally and kind of adapt to it. So if we're able to do that, even as a young man or woman, if we're able to start doing those things now, I think it puts us in a better situation to where when we are faced with those circumstances, I mean, we're just in a much better situation.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've talked about so much during these past few weeks. One of the things, because I heard you mention it several times, is the fact that there's a lot of instances where men sometimes feel like they can't be more open or talk about what they're going through or talk about what they're experiencing, even with their mate. Do they have a tendency to share that amongst themselves? I'm not a man, so I'm asking. And how close, you being a man, how close or how vulnerable do you guys allow yourself to get to really say, you know what, I need help or I want help, or where do I go to get help?
You know, unfortunately, a lot of men will keep it bottled inside, and a lot of times men will express themselves to their friends, their other male friends. But it's not so much expressing themselves in a soft sense, but it's almost in a sense to where you're almost kind of joking. Where, you know, hey, this is how I am. I know it may not be right, but this is what's going on. This is how I am. Whereas when it's time to express ourselves to the woman, a lot of times we feel so vulnerable doing it, so we feel like it demasculates us. So a lot of times it hurts us to express ourselves the way we should. I mean, I can truly say that I definitely pride myself on expressing myself to my wife, and I've never had an issue with expressing myself. That's something that's just with me. I mean, it may not be the same for the next person, but I feel like if you can express yourself to her, then at least be able to express yourself to someone and not hold it in. Because like I said, someone, you have to have an outlet with somebody. But if you're in a relationship, or if you're married, or in a relationship with your partner, you want to have that release to where you can express yourself, because that's how we grow. That's how we learn from each other. That's how we place ourselves in situations to where, you know, when we're faced with it, we can overcome it. Because you have that mind, you have someone else that's looking at it from another perspective, and they're able to offer that help.
Okay.
We're sorry. We're having a little technical difficulty, and we are back live. So if you are listening in, we had a little technical difficulties for a moment there where no one could hear any communication going forth. We are back live. I believe the team is back live on the studio. Minister LaDon?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And Rando, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So I'm just letting you all know, I think for a minute there, you guys' conversation just completely, no one could hear you all, so I just wanted to make you guys aware that we are back live and we are at the eighth hour. Amen.
Got it. You know, I was just rolling because I, of course, didn't hear that we were breaking up. I was just having a conversation.
Yeah, same here. Next thing I know, it went blank, and I looked and I said, okay, well, maybe I assumed I know we had the disconnection.
Got it. You know, and I know we're coming down to the end of the show. And again, of course, if there's callers who have any of our listening audience who have a question or a comment, please make sure to dial 1 on your dial pad and let our team know that you do have a question or comment. We apologize for any difficulties or any issues that's gone on with the show because this has been such an awesome show. One of the questions that I do before we go away, Randall, or a comment, and of course I want you to comment on this as well. One of the things that I think as we've had our conversation is that men and women don't put themselves in a position to really see the other person's perspective or the other person's point of view, and not just see it, but understand it, feel what it's vision, and what it's like to own that particular position so that we can come to a place where now that we understand each other, how do we move forward with what we understand? How do we move forward in wisdom? And I think that a lot of that is because, like you said earlier, we don't want to hurt. You know, we don't want to talk about things that will make us so vulnerable that we are hurting. But also, I don't want you to ever use what I'm saying against me.
Exactly.
When you think about people who've been in relationships where they're cheating and, you know, now the woman or the man holds that over the person's head, it's like you have to pay every day for what you did, the action that you did. And it's like there will never be a time where I've paid enough. There will never be a time where my retribution is enough for you. So how, you know, in my brain, I always often think, how do we get to a place where instead of demanding or requiring retribution, which is what we tend to do as human beings, how do we get to a place can just say, you know what, I understand this hurts. Let's put some things in place and let's move forward.
Yeah, and I agree with you. A lot of it is just kind of putting yourself in their shoes for a moment. Just, you know, rather than put so much emphasis on me and how I feel, think about how that person feels. Think about the things that, you know, you've put them through and think about how would I feel if this happened to me. And a lot of times that takes a lot of maturity. It takes a lot of maturity because you think about things, you know, it's like, well, no, I would never put up with this. I would never put up with that. But once you're in that situation, you just don't know. And a lot of times, if you want to know how your significant other feels, just take a step back, take a pause, and put yourself in their shoes. And in most cases, when you do that, you're open. You're putting yourself in a circumstance where you're opening yourself to receive what they're saying. And a lot of times, rather than yelling so much, I found that a lot of times if you just let that person get their feelings out, let them talk, let them express themselves. And once they do that, and, you know, without you cutting them off all the time, it really puts both of y'all in that perspective to where you're able to receive. But like I said, that takes a lot of growth and maturity, a lot of trial and error, because everyone can't do that. So many people want to be heard rather than, you know, taking a step back and actually listening. So a lot of times that's the main thing. It's just taking a pause and just listening to what they're saying. Putting yourself in a situation, in their situation.
Yeah, because I know I want to be heard. And I want to know that you heard me. And I
exactly.
want to know that you understand what you heard.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of growing that we have to do, especially, again, to just begin to mend the spirits of our young people. But I'm hopeful that those who have decided to listen in, that what you've heard, what you've heard or what provoked thought in you because of this conversation has made an impact to make you decide to say, how do I begin to make sure that I have a plan in place for my young people? I have the necessary mentors and mentees in place. I have the necessary resources and the necessary tools to make sure that they're headed down a road where they at least receive enough information, they at least receive enough wisdom to manage the challenges that they're going to encounter in life. Because when I think about the challenges, I'm almost frozen when I think about the kids that are getting beat and the kids that are getting shot and killed, and there's so much of it that goes on, and it's like, What do you do? I just feel like I'm almost frozen, but we can't be frozen. We have to fight. We have to fight, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why I said, do we take it upon ourselves to say, I don't have the luxury, or I'm not entitled to just think about myself, because there's so much more than just me in this world, and I owe it to my daughter, and not only my daughter, but the neighbor's daughter and the neighbor's neighbor's daughter, to help them get where they need to go. If I have the knowledge of helping them, you know, if I know what direction to point them in, I should make sure that I feel obligated and that it's necessary, and that I should not leave this world without making a positive impact on those around me.
Exactly.
And so, Randall, you've been with us. How do you feel like this, these last few weeks have impacted you and your household and even your friends, you know, those people that you deal day to day with?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it definitely has, because a lot of times, a lot of the questions that we ask, and, you know, while we're answering these questions, a lot of times I'm dealing with myself also, and so it has helped me to, and, you know, I guess when you're talking it out loud, and you actually, you know, you're speaking on broadcast, sometimes it brings a whole another set of accountabilities to you, because you can't talk about it and not be about it. And so I definitely see that, you know, it just brings that essence to you, that you want to continue to do right. You want to continue to set that example, and you want to continue to be there, not just for my wife and for my kids, because I am the example that I would like for them to use when it comes to my son looking to be the type of man he needs to be when he gets older, and for my daughters being the type of man that they would want to have in their lives later on.
Oh, wow. That is so awesome. I love that. Callers, if one of you would like to comment on how you think this show has impacted or will impact
you from this point forward, or in regards to what you heard, please dial 1 on your dial pads and come in with your question or comment. And then also, although I know you're not feeling too well, Coach D, I would love to hear your parting view as well.
One of the things that I do want to say is, great show, by the way, to you both. One of the things I want to say to the fathers that's listening in that may have not been in their child's life, don't let that hinder you, you know, that you haven't been there, because oftentimes children, even adult children, are very forgiving, meaning that once they express their pain, then they can move on. Because I'm going to let you know that whatever's going on in that child's life, and specifically girls, everything that happened to her from an adolescent up into her adulthood, guess what? She's going to blame you, Dad, because the picture is that you're supposed to be the protector. So if you weren't there, then she felt like you didn't protect her from some of the harsh things that she may have had to experience in life. A gentleman, because we got a lot of feedback through Facebook, because everybody's kind of missing us, Minister LaDonna, tonight, because they were looking for us to be live. But one gentleman was saying that he just met one of his daughters for the first time. She was 35 when he met her. I guess he found her, or she found him on Facebook. And so she was 35 when he met her. Now she's 40. So for the last 5 years, they've been in each other's life. And he said that 5 years made up. You know, it can't make up for it, but he said it really definitely came close to the 35 that he had been out of her life, because she was ready to receive and accept the fact that he didn't even know he had the child, you know. So I'm just saying there's different circumstances, and I think even as an adult, if you have not been in a relationship with your dad and you come back into a relationship, I would tell you adults, be at peace. And what I mean by that is give that other parent, I'm saying dads, but you know, it could be, give that non-custodial parent, the parent that hadn't been around, give them an opportunity to give their reason why. And then once they give their reason why, because I believe that a repentive heart, repentance breeds forgiveness. And I think when people truly believe that someone is remorseful for the decisions and choices that they made, I think people have more of a tendency to be more willing to forgive. I think it's the one that come without the repentance, that come with this arrogant, like, well, you know, it's your mama's fault. And I couldn't find you. And, you know, when you come with all the excuses, just own your stuff. Just own it. Hey, I blew it. I missed it. I didn't think, you know, whatever the case may be. And then be willing to just ask for forgiveness and allow that child to forgive you so that you can begin to build there whatever that relationship's going to look like. And that's my closing statement.
All right.
Yeah. And, I love that you said that. For me, I would like to say to the mothers who have been listening, the women who, you know, cry in the middle of the night, go to work and wonder how they're going to make a dollar stretch and the bread, make meals for the entire family, all of the stress, all of the struggles, all of what you go through, one thing that I would say to you is that you can't continue to require retribution, because nobody is ever going to be able to repay you enough for what you think that you are owed or entitled to or due, or even what you think that your children are owed or entitled to or due because of the struggle that you've gone through. And if you hold on to that, you only have one life to live, and you'll miss so much of your life. You'll miss so much opportunities, and you'll miss being able to give so much to your children because you're worried about what you guys don't have or what somebody is not doing
or how much they do or do not do. You have to come to a point in your life where what you have is enough, where you being there is enough, even if it's enough, if it's just enough to say, let me start where I am and try and build and try and grow from here. You'll have to come to a point in time in your life where that father that wants to come in, that's trying to come in, and you still pissed because of what he did, where just his desire to be there is enough of a place to start with. And whether he's with his child for 10 minutes, whether he's with his child for an hour, or whether he's there daily, allow something to begin be enough. Because if you're always in a place where you don't have enough or where everything is not enough, you're instilling that into your child. And they're going to grow up thinking, I need more, I have to have more. And that's how we get to these places where we're overeating, or where we're drinking, or where we're oversexing, or where we're having 5 and 6 jobs, trying to have more, 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 more. Begin to say, this is enough. This is enough, even if it's just a starting place.
Yeah.
And Marla, you say something to those daddies.
You know, when it comes to us men, I can say self actualization is important. I mean, realizing that, hey, we have to be better. We have to step up. And this is not necessary to the men who are doing a great job. If you're doing a great job, this doesn't necessarily apply to you. It's more so for the fathers who have the opportunity to make an impact, or have the opportunity to step up, but are still not doing so for whatever reasons. You have to put self aside for a second. Put self aside and know that, don't just look at it as an obligation. Look at it as, that's your child. That's, you have someone else out here that your blood is running through, and they're going to have their own family. And you don't want to be the bad example that they tell their kids to. You want to be that beacon, that positive example. So stick with it. Sometimes put self aside and put yourself in those circumstances to where you can do better. You have the opportunity to redeem yourself, and it's not too late. Don't look at, oh, well, the mom does this, or my ex does that. So what? Put yourself in those circumstances. Don't give them the power. Actually step up, make a change, and be that person that you're called to be. But if you're sitting there holding on to bitterness and strife, you're only making it worse for your kids. And when your kids have kids, it's just perpetuating that cycle. So let's do a better job at stepping up. Apply to you. If you're doing everything you need to do as a man, you're there for your kids, you're there for your family, this does not apply to you. This is for the man that puts so much emphasis on work that he can't take care of his kids, that he puts so much emphasis on hanging out with his friends, or having, being on whatever situation, he can't deal with his kids. This is for that person. This is for that person that has a hard time dealing with relationships or trusting women because of his own personal demon. This is for that person, because when you put self aside, when you put yourself in those circumstances where you can be a better man, everything else just falls into place. And if you not give that the woman that type of power to where she can hold a child over you, you can fight that by doing what you're supposed to do. But a lot of times, men, we know what we're supposed to do. But a lot of times, you know, we know exactly what we're supposed to do. We know how to fight. We know what to do. But a lot of times, we just don't have, it just goes down to just being lazy. Sometimes it's just being slowful, and sometimes it's just putting it off on the other person, when actually it's really us. So it takes a lot. That self-actualization is important. It takes a lot to realize that, hey, sometimes in some situations, it's not the other woman, it's not the ex, it's me. I think if we get to that point where we realize that, I think we'll be better, much better. And we won't have to have too many of these conversations when it comes to what can men do to be better with their kids.
Amen.
Amen to that. You know, I'm going to put a special plea out there, and I'm going to turn it over to Coach D for the closeout. But my plea is to those men who are in their children's life. If you have the time, or if you can make the time to be a role model or to mentor another young person whose father is not there, please take the time to do so, because when you impact somebody's life, you're actually impacting the entire world, because those people will go out and deal with, you deal with one, and that one person will go out and deal with 20 more people, but what you instill in them will be with them forever. So please, 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 and it's a beg and a plea to take some of your life and donate it to a child that needs you. And with that,
we want to thank everyone for listening in on tonight's episode of Woman to Woman, Fathering from Afar, Fact or Fiction. We appreciate your support. We will be continuing this series throughout the month of August, so please feel free to join us next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and invite some fathers that may be going through. Either they're having difficulty co-parenting, or maybe they're contemplating that they want to re-enter or enter into their child's life for the first time. So we ask you to join us. Again, we thank you for your support, and we hope to see you next week. Have a blessed evening.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life. Sing it again. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Now woman to woman, song.